First of all, it is true that for us as an institution, the war, the invasion, the occupation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant posed a challenge, and we decided to act decisively, to get involved, using the existing capacities and competencies of the IAEA. So we set up a mission there, we are giving assistance, we are informing, and we are playing what I would, I think, describe as a role of a buffer, of an institution that is there observing, and in a certain sense, providing an objective point of view. I came to New York, to the UN Security Council. I laid out the five basic principles on nuclear security, not attacking a nuclear power plant, not militarizing a nuclear power plant, seven pillars as well in the area of safety. So, and all of that has been distilled from the existing normative structures. I know, and there are people saying precisely there are all these principles and pillars, perhaps there could be some evolution in the regime in the future. I would not exclude that. My priority now, today, is not to get bogged down in legal or political negotiations, which in a state of war would be condemned to a never-ending discussion, but to concentrate on protecting the nuclear power plant, avoiding a nuclear accident with radiological consequences. Then we would see. I should say that the body of law and the norms and the safety standards that we have been serviceable and have allowed us to do what we are doing now.
Turning to Iran and the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, it raised a lot of hope in 2015, and today some people claim it's dead. And just last week, Iran withdrew its approval of certain IAEA inspectors, an action which you've condemned. What is your take on their decision, and what is your reading of the IAEA's relationship with Iran and of Iran's nuclear program now?
Well, the situation is a very complex one. On the one hand, yes, you rightly mentioned, the JCPOA has been everything but abandoned. Nobody is saying it's completely dead, but it is in a state of limbo where it formally exists, but none of the obligations therein are being observed. So this is one fact. At the same time, Iran is restricting its cooperation with the IAEA as a means to retaliate, as they say. So I'm not making this up. It's their explanation, as a means to respond to the criticism of some countries. So it's a very complicated logic that curtails international inspections as a way to express frustration for a political discussion with other countries. Very complex and certainly not constructive. So this is why I said, stop this. This is not a way to cooperate with the agency. Iran is saying, and I understand that they want to be rehabilitated, that they don't want any sanctions, that they want to be part of the community of nations as a normal country. Well, when it comes to nuclear, that normalcy passes through the IAEA. It is the IAEA that will be giving the international community the guarantees that everything is in order in Iran. But if they come and, you know, take out a third of my best inspectors because of some political considerations, well, I think it's regrettable. I don't understand this measure, and I really hope this can be reversed. I have invited, because I am always open to dialogue, I have invited the Iranian government to sit down with me and to try to redress the situation and to correct course. There's always time.
Finally, if you think about climate change, extreme weather events, Fukushima, Ukraine, or nuclear-powered submarines, can you still advocate for nuclear energy as a safe source of energy?
More than ever. Nuclear energy today, as we speak, provides 25% of clean energy in the world. In Europe, 50%, contrary to some narratives that you can see. more nuclear in France, more nuclear in the UK, more nuclear in Czechia, in Slovakia, in Hungary, in Poland, not surprisingly, Central Eastern European countries that want more autonomy, energetically speaking, but also in Turkey, in Egypt, in South Africa, in Argentina, in Brazil. So I think it is an evident phenomenon. The problem with all these crises that you mentioned are not linked to nuclear energy. In Ukraine, the problem is the war. In Fukushima, there was an accident, true, but with a very clear reason that had to do with the non-observance of the nuclear safety standards. I think the regime emerged reinforced. We are taking the necessary measures to ensure that there are no problems there. Our impression from the IAEA is not the impression of a nuclear lobbyist. We are not advocating nuclear energy for the sake of it or for any commercial reason. We know it's a clean source of energy. Many countries are using it and continue to use it in an intelligent matrix that will provide us with the energy we need without harm to the planet.